Welcome to Positive Path, a podcast ministry of Unity of San Antonio. Reverend Nina Clark, our senior minister, extends an invitation for you to join us in person on Sundays at 11 o'clock. Unity of San Antonio is a progressive spiritual community where everyone is welcome to attend and serve. We have many opportunities for you to get plugged in, including an active youth and family ministry, classes and workshops, fellowship after church, and many more fun events throughout the year. For more information, check out our website at unityofsa.org. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Abundance. Our culture tends to associate that word with material things, with money. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah. And not just with material things and money, but with lots of nice material things and lots of money. But is that what abundance is really all about? In a workshop that I took a long time ago, the teacher opened up the workshop with his own personal prosperity story. He'd had it all. The house, the cars, the money, the clothes, and he worked all the time to have more so that he and his family could swim in every luxury. And at first it felt good. Having all that stuff made him feel prosperous, even though getting it and keeping it meant that he spent less and less time with his family and no time with friends. He became short-tempered from being so tired. He was distracted all the time because he was thinking about his job and fearful that he might lose it to someone new and younger and better. And so over time, his health also began to suffer. And one evening, after working late, I'm sure you can imagine what's coming next, he came home to a letter on the table. His wife had left him and taken the kids. So he was angry, and he did all the things that angry people do. But then one morning, as his eyes opened, the first thing his eyes fell on was the open closet. And there, lined all up in a row, neat and tidy, were about 20 white shirts, some still in their dry cleaning bags and some still with the price tags hanging off of them. And the thought occurred to him, who in the heck needs 20 identical white shirts? And he knew without looking that farther back in the closet, out of sight, hung the equivalent number of blue shirts and gray shirts, pants, and on the floor, row after row of matching shoes, or shoes to match. And he said it was like this veil was suddenly just stripped away from his eyes, and he saw that he had lost his family, his health, his peace of mind, all in the pursuit of material things. He had made his job and the stuff the source of his happiness, of his fulfillment, and he had twisted himself around it, trying to make sure that he did everything right so that he could keep getting it, and it had all crumbled anyway. He spent the next several days in tears, and then he decided to do something about it. So he quit his job and he started reading and learning and stretching and growing. And he figured out that he'd had it all backwards. And so he changed. He sold everything and started over. Now, I don't want you to interpret this to mean that material things are bad, for this workshop teacher still had nice material things. But he had discovered that the true source of his happiness, his peace of mind, his security, his joy, were not in those external things, but within him. And he had discovered the true meaning of abundance, one that was sourced from within. And once he started living from that place, he was able to create a joyful, balanced life with time for his new family, time with friends, and with space for material things. The things were no longer the focus, however. They were the byproducts of an abundant consciousness. At the time that I met him, he was serene and calm and humble. And when he spoke with you, you felt like you were the only person that mattered. So over the next 7 weeks, we're going to explore together a deeper meaning and, if you're willing to do the work, a deeper experience of abundance, whatever that looks like and feels like to you, because abundance looks and feels different to each one of us. And this series is based on the book, The Abundance Project by Derek Rydell. And for those of you who followed along last summer, we did a summer school series based on his book, Emergence, which many of you came to me and said that you found it to be quite impactful. Before we get started, there are a few important things that I'd like you to hold in mind. First, this is not a get rich quick, get healthy overnight, find your true love next week, or get anything program. Rydell calls this a time-tested, proven system to unlock your natural abundance, creating capacity, and to unleash your divine inheritance. Two, please don't let anyone outside of you, society, friends, family, don't let anyone define what abundance is for you. One person's abundance might be a really cute three-bedroom cottage filled with the sound of children's laughter and the smell of barbecue wafting in from the backyard. Another person's abundance might be the nomadic lifestyle of driving in an RV around the country, walking peacefully in all kinds of nature settings. Someone else's might be a gorgeous home overlooking the ocean in some coastal setting, and yet another may see themselves living on and owning a retreat center where people come to recenter and rejuvenate. And yet another may see themselves traveling the world by house-sitting for others. Discover and own whatever abundance looks like and feels like for you. Three. You will get out of this what you put into it. I invite you to make a 7-week commitment to go all in, to do the practices and work through whatever comes up. Give it a chance to work you. And for those of you who'd like to book, it's available on Amazon. I'm sure other places too, on Kindle and in paperback. So, number four. We have created handouts to go along with the series. If you didn't get one on the way in, please feel free to grab one on the way out. And for those of you online, there is a PDF version for you. Just go to the event tab of our calendar, click on the abundance class, scroll down, and you'll see the link there. Okay, you ready to get started? All right. Today I'm going to talk about the ideas that Rydell expresses and shares with us in chapter one. His first and primary points, which the entire Abundance Project rests on, is that the source of abundance is spiritual or energetic, and it exists within each one of us. And it totally cracks me up because that's what they were singing about. We didn't talk about that, so just happens. And secondly, wealth does not lie in our material possessions, but in the intelligent process that turns spiritual substance into the forms of abundance that we can perceive. Once we understand that, we can use that intelligent process over and over to draw on the infinite source for whatever we need. Rydell uses the example of an orchard. One might think that the wealth of an orchard is the fruit, an abundance of apples or peaches or pears. But the truth is, the real wealth is the invisible process that turns the seed into a sapling and finally into a tree that produces fruit. There is a power within trees that produces fruit year after year, just as there is a power within each one of us that will produce what we need year after year. We need only to know how to tap into that power. The fruit is simply the form that this particular form of abundance takes. And when we are truly abundant, it means that we have the capacity to generate abundance in whatever form that abundance needs to take. And how it manifests in our lives will depend on our soul's unique pattern and purpose. When we understand this, it becomes easy to see that we had it all backwards. We think that life flows to us, but in reality, life flows from us. Because everything is already and always within us. Life flows from within the tree to the blossom and then to the fruit. If we learn from the tree, we see that we too create inside out, not outside in. But most of us have been taught to believe that it is the acquisition of things that makes us abundant, and that when we have lots of things, we are abundant. Has anyone heard that before? When we think, however, that the fruit is the abundance, then it's easy to think that abundance is finite. It's limited to how many apples or pears or peaches we have. We may then feel that we need to do whatever it takes to get more fruit, or to not share our fruit, or to hoard our fruit. We might even steal someone else's fruit if we don't understand that it is the power back of the seed that produces the tree that is the real source of abundance. Does that make sense? Okay. When we understand that, then instead of chasing fruit, we plant another seed. We turn on our internal abundance generator. Everything that we experience in our lives is the effect of an internal cause. Everything that we are experiencing now in our lives is an effect of what we have planted in our consciousness in our pasts. And whatever we're planting in our consciousness now is what we will experience in the future. Okay? When I really began to understand that, I became highly motivated to start being very intentional and conscious about what I plant on a daily basis. And I want to just say, it takes time. We don't go from not planting a weed every now and again overnight, but we can start to become more aware and more conscious about what we are planting. Rydell writes, when we finally take 100% responsibility for our thoughts, words, and actions, and then direct those energies towards our highest vision, things can truly change for the better. So I'm going to shake up our normal order of service. And for the sake of this series, especially for today, I would like to do a meditation here in order to put some experiential feet onto Rydell's material. After all, this work is experiential. Do you mind? Thank you. So this is called Activating Your Divine Power Plant. And I want you to begin by just making note of how you're feeling right now. What are you feeling on the inside? What emotions are there? Just whatever happens to be there. And then I invite you to close your eyes, to just settle into yourself. Today we are here, this moment, with no agenda other than love. Feel the warmth at your nostrils traveling into the body as you breathe, and into the heart, as if your heart is breathing. Allow your attention to rest on this sacred breath at the tip of your nostrils. Is the air coming in cool or warm? When you exhale, feel the warmth when it leaves. Inhaling and exhaling. Inhaling and exhaling. attention on the breath. Inhaling and exhaling. And as we focus on the breath, the body automatically begins to soften and open. Breath by breath, our breath interlocks with the drum of our heart. They're inseparable and part of one another. The gentle beating of your beautiful, beautiful heart. No agenda but love. Inhaling and exhaling. Breathing in through your nose, into your body, and out through your heart. Imagine it as a wave moving through your body, in through the nostrils, into the body, and out through the heart. And allow yourself to be here with no agenda other than love. No purpose other than love. To love what you find and feel inside you now. Let's say, come now, everything in my life. Come into my warm embrace. I have no agenda other than to love you. No agenda but love. And then allow that feeling of love to radiate throughout your body, breath by breath. Breathing in through your nostrils, down into your body, and out through your heart. And now allow that love to radiate out from your body. See it expanding into your life, touching everyone you know. No agenda, but love. Feel that love expand in and through you. And then again, out into the world. How much love can pour through you? And now go ahead and wiggle your fingers and toes. Allow your eyes to gently open. And just notice how you're feeling. So how do you feel now compared to before the meditation? How many of you, and if you feel comfortable raising your hand, please feel free to do so. How many of you feel more loved, loving, or just love in you? Okay. How many feel more at peace, calmer, more relaxed? How many of you feel more loving towards those around you or more charitable towards those around you in the room here? Yeah. And just how many of you just maybe feel a little more at ease? Okay. So where did that come from? Nothing physically changed in your world. Nothing swooped into the room and handed you that love, peace, or ease. You didn't win the lottery. Nobody gave you a gift. Where did it come from? And where will it go to when it eventually fades? It came from and will return to the same place it's always been, within you, within your consciousness. Rydahl says that once you understand that the vibration or feeling, whatever that vibration or feeling behind any object or appearance is, once you understand what that is, you can radiate it out into your experience. And this is how we begin to create an abundant life. So if the source of abundance is spiritual or energetic, and it exists within each one of us, if it starts with us, then Derek writes, the key to creating a life of never-ending growth and expansion is summed up in one word, giving, or any of its synonyms, sharing, serving, circulating, radiating, blessing, expressing, anything that activates more of the abundance that's in us and allows us to pour it into our experience. If you want more life to come out of you, then cultivate that feeling of exuberant life within you and then radiate it out. If you want more inspiration to show up, cultivate the feeling or vibration of inspiration in order to activate this energy of inspiration and then radiate it. If you want more love to show up, cultivate a loving feeling inside and then let it radiate out from you. It all starts with you. And Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore says the same thing. It's the law of spirit that we must be that which we would draw to us. If we would draw to us love, we must be love, loving, and kind. And if we would have peace and harmony in our environment, we must first establish it within ourselves. And the hidden power that in her book, Hidden Power of Our Emotions, author Melanie Dean gives us the science to back this up. She tells us that we must generate within ourselves that which we would like to experience. Our thoughts and feelings literally create waves of electromagnetic energy within ourselves. And these waves are encoded with the thoughts and feelings of our desires. When we cultivate these thoughts and associated feelings, we generate more and more of them. And when they reach a critical mass, they flow out of our energy fields and make quantum connections with other like waves. I think that's the bomb. Those waves then share this encoded information and join together while still staying connected to us. In this way, and for example, the love we generate within and then sends out literally connects with other waves of love. And in this way, we connect with the vibration of love that already exists in the universe, and more love shows up in our experience. Isn't that awesome? If we want more abundance in whatever form it takes, we need to cultivate it first in our consciousness, feel it, and then radiate it out. We live in an infinite field of energy, what author Melanie Dean calls a net of connected energy. Vibrating waves of energy make up the energy of the universe, and it is all interconnected. Like waves are attracted to other like waves in this field or net of energy. And the more of these waves we put out, we increase the likelihood of them finding other like waves. I mean, if you just think about it, put out one little wave, you know? Got a lot of work to do to find other waves, right? Put out a whole bunch of waves, you have a greater possibility. This is why it is so important for us to have a consistent practice and to pay attention to what we're thinking and feeling during the course of the day so that the predominant vibration we are radiating is for what we want rather than for what we don't want. Now, for those of you who are following along in the book, at this point, Derek shares something that he calls the Great Betrayal. And for those of you who are considering getting the book, I just want to point this out. He says, anytime we make someone or something outside of us our source of supply or anything else, the universe is set up to fail us in that area. And I want to tell you, those words make me cringe more than a little bit, because I do not believe for a moment that the universe is set up to fail us. That sounds way too personal. What we're talking about is principle. As we discussed last week, principle works all the time. It never changes. It doesn't care whether we are happy or grumpy, tall or short, or whether we wear cashmere or cotton. It was like my son exploring gravity. Gravity doesn't care whether we drop a Cheerio or a plate over the edge of the table. They will both fall to the ground. The universe is not set up to betray us. It is unerring principle, and it always works. But if we focus on the created world as our source, then what we're really aligned with is limitation and lack. And it will work perfectly by continuing to show us that. Using the apples example, if we think the tree is our source, then we also of necessity believe that our abundance is limited to what that tree can produce. If we think our bank account or our job is the source of our money, we then believe that our financial abundance is limited to what comes to us through our job, and our belief makes it so. And if we feel that isn't enough, then fear creeps into us, causing further limitation and contraction. And it can certainly seem that way. I mean, after all, our paychecks come from our job, right? But our job is not our source. It is a conduit. The same power that is in the seed grows into an apple tree, and it's the same power that lies within you and produces after its kind. Plant and cultivate creative thoughts and imbue them with feeling and radiate them out. When we know that the source of our good is that invisible and tangible substance and we align ourselves with it, new opportunities or conduits appear in our lives from many directions and in many forms. He ends chapter one with a reminder that becoming the source of your abundant life is a process. He writes, developing the capacity to trust in the part of yourself enough to lean on it and live from it, regardless of conditions, is a muscle you have to build by working it out. And like working out your body, you don't always want to exercise. You don't always enjoy the exercise, and you sometimes feel a little sore after. And what's more, you usually don't see the results for some time, and it's very tempting to give up too soon. But if you'll stay committed to the goal and be kind and patient with yourself along the way and simply refuse to give up until you get the results, you'll discover that source starts flowing from the inside out. And before long, you'll be in a successful pattern that will start gaining its own momentum until you're living by grace and not by personal power. And when that happens, life is no longer a problem to be solved, but an adventure to be lived. Thank you.
Thank you for listening today. I want to invite you to check out our Positive Path Meditations. You can take a listen anytime you need to recenter and realign. Have a wonderful day.